From the Netherlands to the USA, welcome everybody to the Dorky Match Show. Joining me is my good friend Del Elba, and like last week, we also have Charlie DeLuca. Lots to talk about in this episode, but first I want to try something new. How was your weekend? Let's start with that. Charlie?
Yeah, weekend
Oh.
was good. Mets got the sweep in Miami, which is something you don't say very often. Yeah, good weekend all around, and should be an exciting next 24 hours or so as we head towards the trade deadline.
Definitely,
Yeah, yeah.
definitely. Dell, anything you want to talk about your weekend?
No, I had a nice weekend. Got to spend time with my kids. We hung out, watched some baseball. They were really excited to see, the Mets kick some butt. So that's always good.
I actually didn't watch the game yesterday, and that's strange because it was an afternoon game for you guys, so that means it's a evening game for me, so it wasn't a night game, and I missed it because I w was watching a cycling event close to my home. But yeah, I was following it, and 12 hits against Pablo Lopez was fun, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he got lit up.
Very.
He got lit up real hard.
So yeah, let's try something new. I want to do a trivia question, and I want to have your answers at the end of the show. It's a random Met, and I have a couple of facts about this guy. And yeah, well, let's just think about it, and hopefully, you get the answer right at the end of the show. So this guy was a first round pick by the Nationals. During his two seasons with the Mets, he had an 11.7 K per nine rate. And this guy was traded to the Pirates for another lefty reliever. Bonus points if you name that lefty. So try to think about the guy who could be this guy. And I'm looking forward to see if you guys know the answer at the end of the episode. Any
All
guy
right.
Anyone on top of your head? Don't tell.
I have some names.
All
He
right.
was drafted by the Nationals, not the Expos.
The Nationals, yes.
Okay. All right.
So let's do the real talk. Let's go to the real talk. We made a trade last week. We expect the Mets to make a couple of more trades, but right now it's just one trade, and that was the Mets got Tyler Naquin and left-handed reliever Philip Deal for Hector Rodriguez and Jose Acuña. First of all, I want to ask Charlie, what was your thoughts about the trade when it first happened?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really complain too much. I feel like Naquin is just going to replace Travis Jankowski. And obviously, I think we can all agree that Naquin is the better player. Jankowski, I know he was injured for a good bit in there, but hadn't recorded a hit since the beginning of May, and was really only used as kind of a pinch runner defensive replacement. Naquin is maybe not as fast, but certainly has 80% of the speed Jankowski has, and is a much better offensive player than Jankowski is. He's not going to play a lot. He can spell Canna and Marte like we saw this weekend in Miami. So you'll get, two starts a week, probably 10, 12 at bats a week. And it's just a good move that makes the Mets better on the margins. They gave up, two teenagers in low A ball who, may be good 5 years from now. It's kind of one of those things where you have no idea how they'll pan out. They could be out of baseball, they could be one of the better prospects, but there's so much uncertainty. I think you're comfortable giving them up and getting a guy like Naquin, who, like I said, makes them better on the margins and replaces a guy who wasn't really contributing other than pinch running and defensive replacement.
Yeah, Dell, you anything about as you as our prospect lover, anything you can share with us about the two prospects the Mets gave up?
Yeah, sure. So I'll start with Hector Rodriguez. They're both very young players. I like to refer to these young players as lottery ticket prospects. They don't have pedigree. They're not like drafted in the first round. These are international players that were drafted when they were 16. So you can just go by their body frame and try to see if they can be a future star. Neither of these were ranked pretty high in the international draft list. But Hector Rodriguez really stood out this year. He's been having a pretty good season in rookie baseball. For his age group, he stood out. He's been stealing a lot of bases, which it could be a little deceptive because there have been rule changes in the minors about stealing. They're doing all that test with the pitcher can't throw, pick off more than twice, and it's becoming a more stolen base friendly environment down there. So could be a little deceptive to see all those stolen bases. Think, wow, this guy can run. He's also 18, so as he gets older and matures, his speed will likely decrease. Jose Acuña is a pitcher with he was with the Mets, 19-year-old from Venezuela. He's 6'2". Got a lot of strikeouts going for him in the minors. His ERA is pretty good. He has a 2.88 ERA. He has 55 strikeouts and 40 innings pitched and only 15 walks given up. Again, this is just at the very low level. He did make it to Fort St. Lucie, so low A. And yeah, that's all I got to say. I think what the Mets got back was well worth these two lottery guys who might be successful, but the chances are very low that they will be successful in the major leagues.
Yeah, well, this is a type of trade that you will often see. I think the Reds, in their situation, they know Naquin won't get you a top prospect or anything. He doesn't get you a, I mean, in a prospect that will be in the list. So what the Reds, excuse me, are going to aim for is, lottery ticket guys, guys with upside, and those are the young guys in the lower end of the system. That, I mean, we when I heard these two names, I honestly had no clue who these guys were. If I'm correct, Del, Jose Acuña is a reliever or is he a starter?
He's had some a little bit of both. It seems like he's more of a reliever type of guy, but yeah, I think that's what his long term is a reliever.
Yeah, so at best he would probably be a mid-level reliever that's easy to find. Hector Rodriguez is maybe a little bit could be the guy that could eventually hurt a little bit more, but I mean most likely those two guys aren't going to be big parts of the Reds' future, and this trade it makes your 26-man roster better, like. Charlie mentioned we got a pretty big upgrade over Jankowski, who was really struggling in his role lately. So Tyler Naquin is just a more all-around player, and I don't know what the deal is with Philip Deal, why the Mets added him to the deal, maybe as a throw-in or for the Reds to make it a little bit more interesting for the Mets. But yeah, his numbers were meh. But yeah, we maybe the Mets found something in deal. They found something in deal that we don't know about because they obviously have more scouts than we do. So moving on with
Yeah, definitely.
the trades. I mean, we don't the Mets don't have a lot of trades. Are there any moves you think will happen, or and are there any names that maybe are a little bit under the radar for you guys? Dell, let me start with you.
You starting with me? Any of the targets to people to target? I wanted the Mets to get Trey Mancini, but as we all know, by the time this episode comes out, that's not a possibility. I don't know. I don't know. There's lots of guys out there that can improve this team. I would rather than focus on a lefty. I do like the big lefty out of Detroit with the big old mustache, Chafin, Andrew Chafin. I think he'll be a good addition. Overall, I think this team is pretty well balanced so far. I mean, they can always use an improvement to Dom Smith or JD Davis. I know that's your boy, Cornet, but I feel like we could still upgrade those two bats. As far as catcher goes, there's the Contreras, but I don't know. I like where this team is going. We're doing pretty good. I don't want to make any drastic change unless we're going to get like a Juan Soto in this lineup. What do you think, Charlie?
Yeah, I think certainly a right-handed bat in that lineup would be ideal for me. I think with the Vogelbach trade, Dom Smith is kind of irrelevant on the roster now, in a way. I don't really see a situation where you would carry both Dom and Vogelbach on the same team. They kind of have the same flexibility in the field, both left-handers. So I would guess that Dom is on his way out. If not, certainly I would guess by tomorrow at 6 o'clock. I think you mentioned Chafin. I like Chafin a lot. There's another lefty on the Tigers, Gregory Soto, who I think would be a good fit too. Both those guys have more than a year of control left. Chafin signed for next year, and I think Soto has 2 more years. So you'd be talking about not only getting someone for this, two really good lefties for this pennant run, but also potentially two lefties for next year and beyond as well. We've heard, or at least I've heard, that the Mets are unwilling to give up kind of their top five prospects for rentals after getting burned a little bit last year when they acquired Javi Baez. And Chafin and Soto aren't rentals. So I think if they were going to trade, the upper echelons of their system, people in the upper echelon of their system, I think Soto and Chafin would be a really good get because you have those two with, obviously Diaz at the back, how great he's been. Trevor May's coming back soon, relative, in the next couple of days or so. Lugo and Ottavino, that's a pretty good six. That's just, six solid arms that I think, you trust to get 3 outs. Not only defend off the Braves in the division, but also come playoff time.
All right, so Chafin, Soto, both interesting names. I was thinking about Chafin too as a lefty reliever, but I do believe that the Mets are going to find a rental bat, and they try to do that without, giving up a Vientos, because obviously giving up Vientos is way too much for rental. We did that last year with Pete Crow Armstrong, and I don't think this regime will make that same mistake. So if they can't find a rental bat for the price that they are willing to give up, I think they might go with Vientos, bring him up to be that left-handed, right-handed bat, or maybe still stick with JD Davis in that role with Vogelbach. But relievers are definitely guys that we're definitely going to get. There's no doubt in my mind. I would like a lefty, so Chafin, like you guys mentioned, is on top of my list. Also, like Joe Mantiply from the Diamondbacks, he will cost a lot, but so would Soto in all likelihood. So that for me is a name that I want to keep an eye on. The Baltimore Orioles, although they are, mid sellers, mid buyers, they are in it. Have some relievers that definitely interest me. So it will be, it will be a very, very interesting couple of days, because I don't think the Mets are done, and if they are done, I think it will be a little bit underwhelming. Don't you guys think?
If there's not at least, I would say, a move to get a reliever, disappointing. Obviously, they've been playing great this year. They're in first place. DeGrom is coming back this week. So, you hate to say it, but that's kind of like a deadline addition in and of itself. But certainly, this is a team that I think can win the World Series. And I think if you can win the World Series, you should be going all in. And for the Mets, that would be, you know, probably two relievers, right-handed bat. And I think with Vientos, like you mentioned, Cornet, they might just bring him up after the deadline. The thing with that is, though, J.D. Davis and him are very, very similar. They, you know, play the corners defensively with not a lot of success, I'd say. At least with J.D. Davis, I haven't really delved defensive metrics of Vientos. But from what you hear, he doesn't really have a defensive put him in, and he'd get 400, 500 at-bats. So you're already talking about Vogelbach and Dom kind of sharing similar roles. Now you'd have Vientos and J.D. Davis kind of sharing the same role. So I think minimum Dom and J.D. Davis, or I should have J.D. Davis and Vientos, will be the deadline, because you already have similar players on the roster or coming to the roster if they make a trade for a right-handed bat.
Bill?
Yeah, I want to say, you know, the Mets can improve not just by adding but by subtracting. I think as much as I love Dom Smith, he can't compete with this role that his expectations of you know, the power is like just not there. He hasn't hit a home run in like a calendar year. It's pretty bad. So I don't know, there are teams that do like him, such as the Red Sox, and you know the Mets did send scouts over to Boston to scout J.D. Davis. Maybe, you know, they looked at other relievers while they were there and probably explore the options to send Smith. Vientos is very, as you said, he's probably similar to J.D. Davis, but, you know, we just don't know yet because we haven't seen him at the major league level. He might strike out a little bit more. I do think that there's a lot of power potential, a lot of raw power here. He can be a big, you know, a hitter, versus J.D. Davis, who has a power potential, but he just can't figure out the launch angle and grounds everything out. I think, you know, that's the only thing that's wrong with him. Corny, what do you got?
Well, J.D. Davis rocked one to dead center the other day. That I did watch, so that was pretty cool to see. But, I mean, I agree, and Dell knows that. I agree that J.D. Davis and Mark Vientos are, to me, pretty similar. But on the other hand, we know what Davis brings to the table. And I'm a big Davis fan. I still believe that that guy can be good, but it's been too long now that he has been underwhelming. And the Mets need to win, and they need to win now. If it was a rebuilding team, fine, let J.D. Davis play. But we aren't that. But that's also a bit of my concern with Mark Vientos. He strikes out a lot in AAA. I'm not sure if he can handle a better level pitching in the major leagues. And you and I, Dell, aren't on the same page in this part. So,
nope. I mean, look at his numbers versus left-handed pitching. I mean, that's right there would be the reason why Vientos is a better replacement. Again, that is not the major league level. He might, you know, those numbers are not going to be good. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they're pretty darn good.
Yeah, they're really good. So I agree with you in that part. J.D. Davis was a batter who in 2019 really did well against lefties, but he hasn't really done that in the last 2 years. So I don't think you'll lose a lot with Vientos or Davis, and maybe you can trade Davis and get some assets and move Vientos up and see what he's got. If the Mets won't make the move, I think that's the case. And even if, I mean, we talked about John Dom and J.D. Davis, I think they are gone anyway. So anything you can get from another team that likes his upside. By the way, we shouldn't talk about that Dom hasn't power, and maybe other GMs listening to us think, oh, wait, maybe we shouldn't go after Dom. So Dell, thank you for that.
Hey, I mean, if they don't see it at their level, then I'd be happy to take their jobs and get their pay and do their job for them.
Yeah, they should call you. Moving on, let's do the most exciting moment from the Mets this week, and I hope we all have a different one. So I'm starting with Dell. What's your most exciting moment of the week for the Mets?
The most exciting of the week. I mean, it's got to be. All right, it's the Subway Series because it's the Yankees. They're the best, arguably the best team in baseball besides the Mets. So to me, the biggest moment that I enjoyed is watching Aaron Boone's bad judgment call managing the Yankees. He left a lefty against, he replaced Holmes to bring in a lefty to face Eduardo Escobar, and that cost him big. After that, we won the games. To me, that would be the biggest moment, is seeing Escobar kind of like, you know, have this. I mean, he was good the entire series, really. I mean, he hit a bomb the next day. But for me, it's just seeing him come high after being so low the last month.
Charlie?
Yeah, for me, it's that first inning on, I think it was Tuesday night, the opening game where Judge and Rizzo hit home runs on back-to-back inning and three batters into the game. The Mets were down 2-0, but then they came back with four runs. Run, like Dell mentioned, was like kind of the icing on the cake of that first. Just a great response. We've seen it a lot this year from the Mets. When the opposition scores, it's the next half inning, the Mets fight right back. We saw against Contra on Friday night. They got in a 3-0 hole and immediately jumped right runs of their own. So to me, obviously, that was not the great start that everyone wanted. A hyped up series like that and to fall into an early hole was definitely a little bit of a gut punch. But to score four runs for Jordan Montgomery in the next half inning was exciting. It got everyone into it. And obviously, the rest of the series went the Mets' way. So that was kind of a big pendulum swing for me and a very exciting moment to score those four runs right after the Yankees.
Yeah, definitely two very cool moments. I also have one of the Subway Series, and for me, it was that moment that Scherzer struck out Judge to end the seventh. I mean, close game, end of the game, big moment with their best hitter up, Scherzer in the seventh, and he struck him out again, and that moment was just so cool for me to watch. And to respond on Dell, many people believe that Boone made the wrong call to hit Joey Gallo with the Mets bringing in Diaz, but that Escobar, a Peralta Escobar move to me was the worst move he could make in that spot. And I totally agree with Dell with that. We talked about that move immediately on the chat, and that was fun. Dell?
Yeah. One more thing I want to add is that, you know, we really got to give credit to Seth Lugo. Oh, my goodness. He looked like the Puerto Rican of 2015, the dominant, you know, flame. He put out the fire. He pitched 1.2 innings, I believe it was, against the Yankees, and just pure dominant stuff. So we got to give, you know, a lot of credit to Seth Lugo for stepping up big during that moment. And who knows, maybe we don't need a lefty anymore if we got Lugo coming back from, you know, that form he used to have.
That curveball to Donaldson. Oof. Man, that was pretty. That was I messaged that to my Dutch friend who doesn't watch baseball at all, and he said he didn't say those words but he meant that was really nasty. And it was such a good curveball to Donaldson, and that was the vintage Seth Lugo curveball.
Yeah.
We missed a little bit that vintage Seth Lugo outing.
You know, if he can return to that form, with the way he is and Diaz having a historic season, it's a pretty scary back bullpen when you factor in how well the starters have been for the Mets.
And May coming back is pretty important too. I mean,
yeah, there was a time in 2019 when it would be DeGrom for seven innings and then Lugo for two. He was dominant against the Yankees, like you said. That curveball of Donaldson was probably the best he's thrown all year.
Well, moving on. What are your expectations this coming week? We face the Nationals for 3, and then we face the Braves for 5 in a huge, huge series next weekend. So, Charlie, what are your expectations for this weekend? What is the record at the end of the week for the Mets?
You know, honestly, the Nationals are very 30 games back of the Mets. So you'd like to sweep against them, but you'd be happy with winning two out of three on the road. I'm coming back on Tuesday. That second game of the series is a big plus and is exciting to have him and Scherzer going back-to-back days. And then that big five, you know, you'd like to win 3 out of 5 and get a game up. The Braves are red hot. The Mets are playing well. It's going to be a really great. The teams could look completely different from, you know, when we're at 5, 6 o'clock on Monday and when they start. So it's going to be really exciting and is, you know, I think definitely the biggest series of the Mets. And to get DeGrom back is huge because you have him and Scherzer. You know, you'd like to think that you'd win whenever they're on the mound. So to have them back, to have the ground back, just run right before the Braves series is a huge plus. So I'm gonna say they go 5. You're gonna win 2 out of 3 of the Nationals and then win the series against the Braves.
No.
Yeah, I joked with this before with you, Cornet, but you know the ground's coming back, but he's. Well, you were the one who mentioned, I think, he's making another rehab start against the Nationals. It's going to be a depleted offense. It's after the deadline tomorrow. Juan Soto might be out of that lineup. Josh Bell's probably going to be gone. Like, who's going to be there? Maybe Nolan Gorman will be back. Yeah, there's Nelson Cruz also might be another one gone. I mean, it's going to be a really weak team to face. For Jacob DeGrom, which is nice for him to get back into the rhythm of, you know, things and get ready for the start that really matters for him against the Braves. The Mets have been, you know, phenomenal. So I do expect the Mets to win the first two games against the Nationals. You know, the third game, I don't want to be cocky. I mean, if we lose it, fine. I mean, that's the game we need to lose. But the Braves, I am super excited. I'm going to have popcorn. It's going to be like watching an action movie because those two teams are great. And that's what I want to see. I want to see good baseball. Of course, I want the Mets to win, but I want it to be a good series. And I think all of us are going to be talking about this series for the next 2 weeks. This could be a make or break moment for the Mets or the Braves.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be cocky. We just need to sweep the series against the Nets. They are just too bad. We have Bassett in the third game, I think. I mean, that's you should win those three and have a nice 9-game winning streak going into the Braves series. So that would have a lot of momentum for us. I mean, the Braves series, it will be close. It will probably be, you know, 3 for us or 2 for us against 3 for them and 2 for them. And yeah, it will be a very exciting and very important series, 5 games against your rival. It could make or break your momentum. And whoever wins that series could have some good momentum going forward. But on the other hand, both the Braves and the Mets will make the playoffs. I have no doubt in my mind. With that, yeah. Obviously, I want the Mets to win the NL East, but it's not like it's make or break for the playoffs, but it's very important for the National League East. Del?
Yeah, but I just want to add one more comment. It is the trade deadlines. The Braves did make 2 big moves last year that really pushed their momentum. So I do expect the Braves to pull something by the deadline tomorrow. So, you know, I'm a little, you know, hesitant to say that we're going to like sweep the Braves, you know, or we're going to like take 4, but I do think it's going to be, each game is going to be very close, and let's see what the Braves, and what the Mets do at the deadline to improve their team. And I think that's going to be a motive for them at this deadline is, hey, like, oh, the Braves got this guy. We got to get this guy. You know, it's a big series coming up. We can't let them get the best of that series.
It will be an exciting week. And deadline, some moves will be made. We know that. We have the Braves series, so I'm very excited to move to have another podcast next week and talk about all things happened in this week. So let's finish this off with the random match of the week. Let me remind you guys what the three facts were about my random match of the week. And that was a first round pick by the Nationals. And during my two seasons, or the players' two seasons, with the Mets, I had an 11.7 K per nine rate. And this guy was traded for the Pirates for another lefty reliever. Bonus points if you name that lefty. Charlie, who is your guess?
My guess is Vic Black. That's my guess. I say he was traded for Antonio Bastardo of Pirates.
That's a good guess, but it's not the correct one. And so, Dell?
Yeah, you know, I try not to Google anything, so this is like purely at the top of my head, and it's probably wrong, but I don't know why I want to say Tyler Clippard, but I don't remember him playing with the Pirates.
Too bad, Dell. I expected more from both of you guys.
I'm not bad at trivia.
No, it's difficult. I know that. The correct answer was Josh Smoker. So,
that's a blast from the past right there.
Who was Josh Smoker traded for, guys? Maybe with his name, you know who is traded for?
Couldn't tell.
Dell?
Nope.
It was Daniel Zamora, another lefty reliever, who the Mets traded in the Pittsburgh Pirates trade to trade Josh Smoker.
There you go.
That's a good one. That's a little shot in the dark.
Well, maybe next week you have a better guess than what you guys did today.
Yeah, more than likely, it's going to be a reliever because Corny loves his relievers. So, especially if they're lefties.
Those guys are the most random. So, I mean, how many relievers are you going through in a year? How many, you know, relievers we don't know 2 years later the Mets have had? So it's the fun random Met of the Week type roles for the Mets. So guys, this was it. Hope maybe our listeners knew it from the start. Let us know in the comments at Dorky Mets Show on Twitter, on Facebook. We are everywhere. If you guys want to mention your own Twitter handle, maybe to get some more followers, Dell.
Sure, you can follow me at Mets Hangout on Twitter. That's it.
Charlie, what's your Twitter handle?
I'm at DelucaCharlie02.
All right, guys. I'm Corné Hogeveen. My Twitter handle is Corné Hogeveen. It's not that difficult. It was a great episode, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. Let's do it next week. And big week coming up. Let's go, Mets.
Let's go, Mets.
Let's go, Mets.